Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
How do you go from cable access TV show producer to working on the broadcast news? Find out right now. Raw Fusion. Welcome to the King B's Raw Fusion Podcast.
Yeah. It's been a long time. I should have left you. Without a strong show to flip to. Now think of how many weeks shows you slept through. Time's up, I'm about to bless you with another season. Another reason to cut on the TV and start the cheesing. To get up on the phone and go call your friends and let them know the King B's Raw Fusion begins. Sit on back and enjoy yourself. I'll be your company, baby. If you need a little help, I took off for a while to revise the plan. Got my focus on so I can check out the scam and open up my team. Eliminated the fake and went and got me a beat from Bobby Drake. And now I'm back and it's better than you ever saw. But enough talk, let's get raw.
A typical night at the clubs,
let's get raw.
You don't want to fall in love,
let's get raw.
You got the fusion in your blood,
let's get raw.
Into my ladies and my thugs,
let's get raw. Into the haters on the scene,
let's get raw.
Don't be mad cause we got green,
let's get raw.
You should be trying to make the team,
let's get raw.
Cause we taking everything,
let's get raw.
Raw Fusion.
Hey, it is super producer Lisa Ian. You know what time it is right now. That's right. It's time for Raw Fusion with the one and only wonderful host, my man, King B.
Yo, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? King B right here. And you should know by now that one of the biggest themes about doing business is all about relationships, period. And as you haven't seen for the last episodes since we started this podcast, I've been bringing on friends of mine who just happen to be very important people or people who are doing great things. And of course, today is going to be no different. We got my homeboy BJ in the house. What's up, bro?
Yo, what's up, man? Honored to be here.
Man, it's an honor to have you on the show. So, okay, let's take it back. I don't even know how. Some people, I just don't even remember how we started with right. This shit. I know, you know what I'm saying? I just know you so goddamn long that it's just, you know. BJ's has been around. It starts back to when I had my TV show of the same name as this podcast, Raw Fusion, and it was on cable access at the time. We had then moved to PBS, and BJ is a camera operator, director in his own right. He does a lot of things behind the scenes of television. Much of it you've probably seen. So the last time I think we actually worked together, we had Megan Good on the show for the second time.
With the Tate brothers.
Yeah, Lawrence and all them. Shout out to Lawrence Tate.
Him and his brother super cool. I think Terrence Howard was there too at that
time. A whole lot of people were there.
I remember that, but that was a long time ago.
It was a long fucking time ago. And now you are a camera operator over at CBS.
Yeah, man. Full circle.
Yeah, bro. You doing that broadcast shit.
Yeah, man. It's just funny. I mean, it's a blessing. I'm definitely blessed. I'm appreciative of my blessings. I know where they came from. No great areas there. And, you know, right. Full circle, because when I was in undergrad at Columbia, I had the fortunate opportunity to work for CBS with the 60 Minutes crew. So I was around all those legends, former legends that were currently working for CBS that I grew up on and looked up to, Dan Rather, Ed Bradley. They put me under their wing, under their tutelage. So to come full circle and work for CBS again, but local, because I grew up on 60 Minutes and CBS local with Bill Curtis and everything. It's just, you know, can't help but be appreciative. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know you worked there.
Yeah.
But the only two things I think I watch on CBS is football and 60 Minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Every now and again.
Man,
you know what I'm saying? 60 Love Minutes, it. I used to watch that. Yeah, I used to watch that all the time, man. And I didn't know that you worked at 60 Minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah, dope, I mean, man. Back in the day, yeah. Just a brief opportunity to soak up some of that game and influence, and that single-handedly cemented my trajectory. It's like, oh, yeah. This, I'm doing the right thing. This is what I want to do for a career. Never mm-hmm. look back. Mm-hmm. Never look back.
You know, I had talked previously, and yeah, I don't have any problem with people at Columbia or anything like that. I think that's a very good school to learn the technical aspects of television and filmmaking. The one thing they don't teach, though, is creativity. I don't think anybody can teach that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You either have it or you get inspired to try to develop it properly. But I don't think you can teach it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can teach how to be technical. You know? But what do you think about that?
You know, I agree, because another fortunate opportunity, I was a adjunct professor at Columbia for 6 years, 6, 7 years. I didn't even have to apply. They recruited me. I graduated with honors. So I left an impression on the staff, the administrators. So being an educator there, I can attest to the curriculum. I remember they had a creative writing class, but I don't, like you said, I taught technical stuff, advanced editing and studio. You're right. Mm-hmm. I think creativity is each individual. It's going to differ from each individual, you know, regardless if you're born with it or not, you can become creative. But I don't think you can, like you said, teach creativity, you know. You could be
it's
inspired.
Difficult, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know how you would go about even teaching.
Because it's like, it's just something that you know, develop. I see, I never went to school for any of this shit.
But you're, really because you're a savant. Just broke the mold, came out like, yeah, you know.
Like, fuck it, I'm here.
Yeah. And that's another, man. I love that, man. I love people like that, man. Just, you know. Going along with what you said. Do we really need school to do this? No. But we didn't write the rules. I tell people all the time. We didn't write the rules, the game book, the blueprint on what the required prerequisites are to get in the industry through corporate, you know. But can you be successful on your own egg? Yeah. If you want to go against the rules, yes. But, you know, that's important to be said. Like, nah. You can get it. You can get ahead. You just got to be prepared. You can't come in here half-assed, basically. You know, regardless if you got school, education, or not, you better be prepared to exceed whatever the expectations are, with a degree or without it, you know.
Man, this shit is like, it's really like, you know, I played sports, and it really is like a sport. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are so many people that are trying to be in the positions that we're in. And it's like, man, if you don't come with your A game, you know, they're going to move right on over you and forget about you in like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Real talk. It's the truth. It's like, you know, especially because, you know, I'm a prideful black male. So I speak and I try to exemplify that in how I carry myself. So it's like, man, don't come in here embarrassing us or yourselves. You, whatever the expectations are, you should want, like I said before, you should always be, it's a mindset. You should be willing to exceed them, lead by example, you know, have that type of mentality like I still live by. Like, man, on my worst day, I'ma still do better than most. That ain't being arrogant or cocky. That's just full confidence. And it's essential. Like, man, you have to exceed the expectations. Because whether you want to get on the boat where, well, they keep changing the rules or they keep moving the goal. You're like, all right, well, you want to beat the best, be the best, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, and you know, it's inspiring when you push yourself, when, you know, if you apply yourself and you are assertive, man.
Right, right. Yeah. I think some of the guys were kind of jealous of you, man, when I was over at PBS, because I was on Chicago Tonight.
Yeah.
And shout out to Phil Ponce.
Yeah.
He
Legend.
Did the he did the interview. And then I get off. Of course, you know, they play some of the show, you know, through the interview to promote the show.
Yeah.
And after I got off set, you know, one of the camera operators was like, "Look, man. man, come on. I want to shoot for your show, man. Come on." You saw Megan Good and all them, you know, Alicia Keys and all them motherfuckers. She was like, hey, man, come on, man. I'll shoot for your show, too, man. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to tell nobody, you know. You know, we got to meet some really good people, man, you know.
Yeah.
And really beautiful people, too. Like, you know, just being in circles, you around all this shit. And if you ain't no groupie motherfucker, you might have a good time.
Yeah. Just be regular, man. Like my oldest daughter and me always joke, like, just be regular, man. Just act normal, you know, all that extra stuff.
Yeah.
But phenomenal industry. If you in film, TV, video, it's definitely not enough of us. It's disproportionate, for real. But it's wide open in terms of, especially now with technology and the access to, like, you doing this podcast. It's like, man, if you're not inspired, it ain't no excuses. No excuses to succeed in this medium, you know, video, audio, film. No excuses. Mm-hmm. The equipment is way more affordable for anybody starting out or people that's situated. And to tell your story or, you know, put your passion out there on camera, behind camera, is like the sky's limit, man. The sky's limit. And along the way, you meet some phenomenal freaking people. You learn it every day. Every day is a different, especially like with me working in news, every day is a different environment. And it could be a sad story, but you're going to walk away having learned something, been inspired, or meet some phenomenal people, you know. So,
see, you and I have been in the game for a while.
Yeah.
And I was telling someone else, the shit that we have now, it wasn't as affordable, like you said, back then. Back then, you were spending a grip for this shit, man.
Right.
Now, it's a lot more. Hell, these motherfuckers are doing whole movies on iPhones, dog.
Yeah. My hat goes off to them. It's like, woo, cold.
Yeah. And it's just amazing how affordable this stuff is now as opposed to when we started in the game. You know what I'm saying? I go back to the jog and shuttle days. You know what I'm saying?
AB room.
You know, now you just get you get a computer. And, you know, you can do far more things than we ever could have thought about doing back then, man.
Very true,
so,
man.
So there are no excuses.
Nah. Which is, you know, well, I'm always encouraging and hoping for more of us representation. Like, man, put your ideas out there, especially if it's positive. Because ever since I've been in the game, can't nobody ever say I ever contributed to any negative stereotypes of African-Americans. Because it's free. It's already out there. So I'm not going to be one more contributor. I could be in the hood and a person that don't know any better would anticipate something negative coming across and it'll be positive. They're like, damn, I didn't know. Yeah, you ain't going to have me out there contributing to anything. Because it's just too many stories to do that's positive or you can put a different spin on. It could be pimps, which I've done. And people be like, oh, man, I was anticipating some ghetto stuff. These dudes was actually intellectual. I'm like, yeah. It's all in how you produce it, how you direct it. So, yeah, I just, you know, it's just, like I said, it's wide open, man. I just love the medium. I'll be doing this until I die. And, like, to see people like you still doing it, man, I need that. You know, people with no egos like us that can give another brother or sister a compliment without any shade. That's how it's supposed to be, man. You're supposed to, we are inspired and we feed off each other. Directly, indirectly, that's how the cycle is supposed to go. It's essential to continue to evolve. If somebody say different, they lie. Oh, no, I wasn't inspired. Yeah.
Right. You know, I will say I have a big ego.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think if you have the ego, truly have an ego.
Yeah.
You will kick your own ass to make sure that you are presenting, you know what I'm saying? To make sure you're presenting the best at all times. You know what I'm saying? When you come out, that's the best you got.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you got to help the ego. That's the difference. People don't know how to disseminate. It's unhealthy egos and healthy egos. You got a healthy ego. It's the ones that got unhealthy egos and that's pompous acting that don't nobody want to be bothered with.
Right. And honestly, a lot of those people, while they look like they have an ego or confident, they're actually the most insecure ones in the room.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The ones that are secure can sit back, look at somebody else do some good shit. That's fucking great, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then turn around and say, okay, I'm going to top that next time. So now you motivated me, and hopefully you look at my shit and say, that's fucking great, man. I'm going to top that shit. And then, you know, we keep like a healthy competition going.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know what I mean? I can compliment you and say, man, that was a good job. You know, I'm coming for you next time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's how it's supposed to be. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. Because remember, that's how it was when we were doing our award-winning shows. Like, I remember first time you told me, I forget, I don't know if it was at some, because we met each other at a promotion event in E2 before it became infamous with the Stampede. And I was like, man, you were familiar with me, and I'll never forget, we clicked, and that was, the rest was history. But I remember when you told me, I think we were somewhere on Lake Street. You're like, man, I just got a deal with PBS. I was like, hell no, that's cool. That automatically, you know somebody's doing something right if you own a super legendary network, yet conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, they ain't got all that, that wild stuff. You got to be doing something right if you get accepted by them. And I was happy as a person should be when they're genuine. But yeah, we people like us, creative minds, content creators, was inspired by each other then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shondell? Remember Shondell? He was doing something. I remember he was working with me on Real Flavor a few times, and it's like he was using our shows as a platform to inspire others, teach others, but without the hate, without the funny acting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
you know, he was in one of my movies too.
Yeah, Shondell. Proud of that dude. I'm proud of all of us, the ones that came up through the ranks together and still keeping it real like we were doing back then. That's how, I just wish more of us were doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Started at the bottom, bro.
Yeah, man.
Now we here.
Yep.
Real Flavor.
Yeah. Man, I still pinch myself with regard to that. Especially when somebody recognized me. Like, man, that should have been off the air, but BJ, Real Flavor? I'm like, oh, man, thanks.
Bro. Like, that shit happened like the other, about a year ago. You know what I'm saying? I'm just walking down the street.
Yeah.
And they ain't even talking about PBS. They talking about when we was on cable access. And I'm like, God damn, bro.
Yeah.
You know how long that was?
Yeah, man. My hat goes off to them because there's some people with some sharp memory, like elephants are famous for having memory. And you could be in tar, especially now with COVID. How the hell you recognize me with a mask on? Damn, you are cold. You should be a cop. But yeah, I love our residents, our viewers, our former viewers that took time to watch our shows and they give those props, man. That's phenomenal. And but that also, like I said, that attests that we were blessed to be able to do something good that was memorable enough and watchable enough for people to even recognize. So hats off to them.
And people don't know that back then there was a lot of people that watched that, man. You know, we didn't have the streaming platforms and all this other shit that motherfuckers had today.
Man, just think if we did, you know, golly.
Oh, it'd been over with.
But you know,
we got them now, so we got to use them.
We got reruns like a man. Because how long was you on? You was on for years, right?
On cable, I think I did like two years. And then we went to PBS.
Yeah.
About the third season was on PBS, so.
That's what I meant by minutes ago when I said I still pinch myself. Because I never expected to do 2 years, let alone it ended up being 10 and a half years. But between the both of us, we got so many episodes and reruns that nobody has picked up the torch and tried to replicate or create since, which makes it, you know, more exciting if we even chose to upload our former episodes. It's like, man, this is how you do a production, you know?
You know what? I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah.
Because, we've got better. And well, I know I have. And then I look at that old shit and I'm like, God damn. I don't know if I want people to see this again.
Right.
But I mean, it worked for the time and I was just learning, you know. I was an actor and just decided that, you know, the people with the control and the money was behind the camera. So then I went behind the camera. So I was learning as I went along. You know, I was putting out episodes while I was learning how to do it, you know. So now, being what they call a professional, I look at some of that shit and I'm like, and then plus, you know, we didn't have what we had then. You know what I'm saying? We weren't, like I said, jog and shuttle, man. It wasn't no non-linear editing, none of that shit. So, you know, at least I didn't use it. So, I can do now as opposed to then.
Live and you learn. You did good. Phenomenal, considering.
Thank you.
I mean, that's how we supposed to be evolved, because Real Flavor was my platform. Okay, you go to a job, whether however you got it, you went to school, you didn't go to school, you go to a job for what we aspire to become. I don't care what they paying, they want you to do that job behind you, but not all your other aspirational goals. So our creative platforms, with you, your show, and my show, all that did was create a monster, because I was able to do everything I wanted to do and be proficient at producing, writing, directing, shooting, editing. So, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we took from it, and we grew from it exponentially, you know? So, I try to share that with as many people that are like us that want to do that stuff. It's like, man, create your own production, your own show. Highlight your production skills in your show and watch you grow faster than any job can provide for you. And it'll show in your job, because they'd be like, damn, this dude he run a circle around these cats. That's because you getting that auxiliary experience, you know, outside of working 9 to 5. But that's how you do it, through independence.
And you had one of the best shows on, man, that channel is, you know,
man.
That show. There was a couple other shows. And then there was some motherfuckers that just wanted to do the shit. And you could see the difference. It just wasn't, you know what I'm saying? They didn't put the effort into it. That shit was just on there. And fuck it.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, like, it's some people that was probably hating. I'm like, you damn right it was. But they wasn't going to say nothing to me. They would just try to phony kick it in person. But I'm like, man, we from the hood, man. We so down to earth and humble because we didn't came through stuff like most people of color. But we ain't had no reason to be anything but modest and humble. We were just grateful to at least be recognized, you know, especially during them awards.
You're a big
shows.
Dude, man. Ain't nobody finna go talk that shit to you in your face.
Man, I still don't put nothing past nobody. But that was a goal, being able to go city, across the city, in every hood, and get them exclusive interviews and just hang out, not that sit-down, cookie-cutter type production. And man, then to be nominated and win so many times. I remember, like, you know, we both have some amazing accolades. But I remember the first, like, Chicago Music Awards. And I didn't think we was going to win, because that particular year, Kanye was nominated. It covered all music genres. So you had Jennifer Hudson was there, because she had blew up, and, you know, salsa, gospel. And I came there, like, you know, they was in tuxedos, and my man from the Hunters and my wife, we went there so casual, we wearing minks and Timberlands. And see, we was about to leave. I had a Wild Hunters hoodie on, repping, you know, proudly. But we from the hood, but we, thank God, we also were able to be sophisticated. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, that's how we were super casual. And we about to leave. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, our body motion was walking towards the door. And the category, they were reading it as we were walking. They're like, top number one entertainment show in Chicago, Cable, Real Flavor. And I was like, hell no. Nah. And I was a little, it was awkward because I don't look for the attention, but it's like, damn, I got to go up here on stage, and we dress like this, like we got a dope corner. I was like, man, I was trying to stand behind that podium as much as I can. Man, but it's just, you just laugh at that stuff, but yeah, we did some great work, man. You, me, and a couple of others. Oh, my guys, Cootie. And
Channel Zero,
whoo, they inspired me locally. They inspired Rap City, and what's the other one? Your MTV Rap inspired Nash. Oh, and you know, you familiar with George in New York? He had the first, and it's still going, first independent underground hip hop show. They call him Uncle George, but that dude, legend. So reading about him through Source magazine and stuff like that. But yeah, man, we really did our thing, all of us in Chicago.
Yeah, man, that's really cool, man, to be able to. To kind of look back and see where everybody's at now, you know what I'm saying? Cootie out there, yeah. You know, in L.A.
Yeah.
I know Danny has a barbershop in Hunnards.
Barbershop, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first one in Chicago, African-American, to get his weed dispensary license. You know?
Oh, really? So,
yeah. I mean, but
that makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah, it just, man, dude, just always been a visionary, you know, super creative.
Stop getting high on your own supply, Danny.
Yeah.
Because he just might hear this shit, so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I saw him a couple years ago. I haven't been back to the shop in a while, but, you know, since COVID, I haven't been moving around like that, so.
I don't blame you.
Good brothers, man.
Yeah,
but we're gonna take a break and we're gonna be back with more from my homie BJ right here on Raw Fusion.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Now streaming on the King B's Raw Fusion Podcast. The listening party is back.
That we do it, gang. Yo.
Why you gotta look so good? Why you gotta look so good? Why you gotta look so good? With your hair done, nails done.
Just shout out to all the beautiful ladies.
I'm addicted. Can't stop loving you. Cause I can't get enough of you, babe.
So I never wanted to go solo. I just had to keep doing what I love to do. I was keeping that name Slick, and I was gonna run with it. But then I started growing and looking at analyzing my music.
Right.
I just added my real name to my stage name, so, and it works.
You know what I say?
How many children got to die before we wake up?
And that time, just please, you know what I'm saying? Somebody do something before we lose it.
Right.
You know, because I didn't have an answer. You know, I still don't. You know what I'm saying? But I foreseen what was going on around me, man. I just got in the booth and cried out like, yo, you know, what we gonna do?
Don't miss a minute of King B's Raw Fusion. Make sure you subscribe for free to King B's Raw Fusion Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. There's a new place to find Raw Fusion, rawfusion.net. Gain access to everything Raw Fusion, along with information and value you may not find anywhere else. That's rawfusion.net.
Raw Fusion.
Now, what you're doing now, and I checked it out, really cool, man. You have a podcast yourself with your daughter, which is just really adorable. You know what I'm saying? So tell me about this, man.
Yeah, my youngest daughter, I got two daughters. So my youngest daughter, ZZ, she just turned 7, and both my daughters are Geminis, so it's like I got 4 daughters. But when she was 2, I started getting her on camera. My reasoning was to get her to be comfortable opening up, developing her personality, be confident, and it was never, and today it still isn't by force, it's by choice. When she wants to do it, she'll initiate it. Like, Daddy, let's do Coffee and Cruise, but that's the name of the Coffee and Cruise, because we would be in the car and I would be taking her to Taekwondo or gymnastics, ballet. And we would just have a little short little conversation on the way there, me drinking a cup of coffee and just cruising. And man, it's just, she's flourished in terms of, you can see it from when we started to now. She's so articulate and just got personality off the charts. And I guess my goal from the beginning, the intention is work, because, you know, everybody loves seeing those episodes.
Yeah, man, it's really good. You might have a little superstar in your hands, man. Watch out.
Yeah, man. But you know, this
might end up seeing her on the Disney Channel or something. You know what I'm saying, with her own show.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I take that. But you know, if she wants to do it, I'm cool with it. You know. And you know, we didn't touch on like the success. We talked about technology and everything being so available now. Hats off to people that create content on web series. Jesus Christ, it's impossible to watch regular TV or Netflix because there's so much great content creators with their content on YouTube. Man, you know, so who knows?
But hold on. And this is the kind of guy he is. Now, we talking about his podcast.
Yeah.
He jump off and celebrate somebody else. Man, so we coming back to this podcast. Coffee and Cruise, where can they see this?
Well, Coffee and Cruise is not it's not on YouTube just because I'm just not in a rush and I'm protective, but it's just exclusively on Facebook. Since it started its inception, we loaded up on Facebook. I'm just, as a father, protective. Cause, you know, it's widows out here, and I don't want her being this young to get too out there, or if she doesn't get a certain amount of subscriptions or subscribers or likes, and she internalizes that. So I'm real delicate with that. Mm-hmm. You know, just let her grow more, be more mature. And the next step, I guess, if she wants to, will be to go on YouTube and teach her how to operate her own camera. Cause she got six nephews and a niece. Mm-hmm. So you get all of them involved with her being, you know, the star of the show and lit man. So that's a possible master plan if they want to do it or she wants to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, just Facebook on my page, Coffee and Cruise, was easy. It's BJAY Johnson on Facebook.
Okay. So if you're lucky enough to be accepted by him, you'll be able to see the podcast there. And then when it gets, you know, comfortable, you know, then maybe you'll see it on a bigger platform. And of course, I'll be pushing and promoting it on my show as well. So, you know, but that's in the future.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I appreciate it.
And if she doesn't get the likes, you just blame yourself.
Right. Yeah, just blame daddy.
Just tell it's because of me. You know what I'm saying? When you get your own show and I'm not in it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But it really is adorable. And man, I just, you know what I like about it? I like seeing brothers being fathers. You know, I'm not a father. I don't have any children, but you know, to the brothers being fathers, man. And that's the reason why I kind of really want to push it, but I understand your reasons. But it's because, well, they try to have a narrative as if we, all of us are missing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That, from our children's lives. How long you want to keep that narrative up?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So for that reason alone, it's worth watching and promoting. You know what I'm saying? Not that the content is great, but just seeing the father of a little girl and being a real father, man, goddamn. You know what I'm saying? I just love that shit, man. I just love seeing that, you know, and shout out to you, bro. You know what I'm saying? You are definitely a man that takes care of his responsibilities. You know,
I appreciate it. Yeah, that's what we talked about earlier, just to throw in that, like, it's enough negative stuff out there. Man, there's way more positive stuff we could do. It's got, you know what I'm saying? And that's the whole intent, you know, show positive representation of whatever you're doing being black. That's it.
Mm. Man, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people I know in this business.
Yeah.
And they will not get on this show.
You really? Know what I mean? What do you think?
I don't want them on the show.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want them on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get good people, real people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck if the world knows them and it's great for ratings or whatever, or clicks or downloads or whatever it is, or someone that people don't know that's, you know, doing something. I'd rather have them, whether they're known or not, with people that I feel like I am proud to stand next to than just getting you know, the downloads and the ratings and all that bullshit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's the great thing about being independent. When I was doing broadcast television every Monday, man, because my show was on Sundays, every Monday I got the call. You know what I'm saying? And we talked over the ratings and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, this thing here, although I do pay close attention to the analytics, it's not going to stop me from doing the show the way I want to do the show. And the way I want to do the show is to celebrate people, real people, good people, you know, not just famous motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, because everybody got a story, man. And as long as you stay.
Everybody got a story.
And you don't compromise your peace of mind and integrity, man, there's plenty of success out here to do it the way you want to do it. Plenty.
And these are people that need to be celebrated. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not saying that I wouldn't bring celebrities on. Yeah, I got friends that are celebrities and, you know, they're good people.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I don't have a problem bringing them on. But there's some motherfuckers, man, that I just know ain't shit.
Right.
I'm good, you know. And that was one of the things when I did Raw Fusion, when I was off air. Not saying that any of the people that I had were like that anyway. No. But I did have a lot of national artists and actors and whatever on my show. And when I decided to do it this time, I wanted to start with Chicago-based people, which I didn't do then. So now doing it completely, well, I was doing it my way then. I didn't know about you learn, you know what I mean? So my thing was I wanted to start with Chicago people that I knew that were doing great things that people should want to know. Now, obviously, we do a lot of shows. You know, I'm doing this every week, so some of those nationals and some of those names are going to end up coming on the show as well. But I want to make sure they're good people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if they're not, then I'll bring them on to just to, you know, tell them what the hell is wrong with you and why you're doing this bullshit.
we had a similar recipe because when I started Real Flavor, I was in undergrad and it just took off. But my goal was never to, because it was oversaturated where you could see the national artists, the international artists on other platforms, bigger platforms like MTV and stuff like that, BET. My goal was to always highlight Chicago talent first, but use the major names like Puff Daddy was his name before he changed it to Diddy. To like, man, Puff Daddy on Real Flavor. They're like, nah, I want y'all to remember Pookie from the Block is on the show with Puff Daddy. And that was the psychology and how I designed it. And that shit worked. I'm like, I don't care about the damn national artists. I mean, it's cool to meet them, and especially if they down to earth. But, you know, I want y'all to walk away with, man, we saw Blase Skippy from the Block on the show with, you know, your favorite, whoever your favorite artist was nationally, internationally, world renowned. And, yeah, I applaud you for that, man, because we got a story, a lot of talent here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we most definitely do. And we have some talented sponsors. Let's give them a chance to get their piece in. And we'll be back with more Raw Fusion right after this. If you want to check out some of our films, you can do so at patreon.com/KingB. And as always, King B's Raw Fusion podcast is sponsored by TheIndieCity.com. If you like independent artists or independent products, or you're just independent like me, check out TheIndieCity.com. TheIndieCity.com.
Raw Fusion.
You know, this thing is a passion. You know, I was talking with Cool Out.
Cool
Radio. A few weeks ago, he was on the show, and you know, we were talking about people with passion.
Yeah.
You know, do people really have a passion for this? You know, if you get into this shit just for the money, good luck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. With any career.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you love what you do, it's seamless. And the money gonna come, but you gotta love what you do. And you gotta wanna
love
be
what you
cold
do.
At what you do. You know?
Put the passion up in it, man.
Yeah.
People don't even understand how long it takes to, you know, I left TV to do movies, and man, people do not understand how much time I put into editing a film,
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And how many times, by the time anybody else sees it, I mean anybody, I've been through that film about 100 times.
Yeah.
100 times at least. You know what I'm saying? I've watched it from beginning to end. And then, okay, let me tweak this. Let me do this. You know, that's all after, actually. You know, going through it, you know, scene by scene and take by take and blah, blah, blah. Man, I've been so up in that shit. You know, you're talking about how many hours you put into doing that. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. But if you want a good product that lasts the test of time, you know, some of my movies I did 10 years ago, still selling. So it's like, man, listen, if you want to do this thing, you're going to have to put passion up in it.
And documentaries. I love working on documentaries, doing documentaries, and watching documentaries. It's like, man.
Some documentaries, you start off and you don't know the end of the story, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But if I know the story, I know where we're going, then I like doing it. But I did a thing on Raw Fusion about the Chicago Blaze,
which is
a female basketball team.
Okay.
NWBL. It had a lot of WNBA players. We had like Tamika Catchings. Shout out to her for getting into the Hall of Fame and a lot of other female basketball players.
Right.
But it was driving me crazy because I didn't know where the story was going. I was just covering shit. So you're just recording stuff and doing interviews and I don't know where this shit is going at the end. And, you know, with me, I'm used to having a script knowing what's going to happen in the beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
If we change something on a day, then that's okay too. But I have an overview of what's going to happen. That thing drove me crazy because I didn't know where this thing was going in the end. But it turned out to be great, man. And one of the segments that people really enjoyed. So yeah, it can be done. Yeah.
Can't nobody tell our story better than us. But they'll be quick to not let you tell the story, but let somebody that don't look like us tell the story. Do the work, do the production. Then get mad when it wasn't thorough. Or the production one, because they're like, well, that's what y'all get for not letting us do the documentary or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like
we have so many issues, so many mental issues, bro, that we have to heal from and address and heal from. You know what I mean? Like I told the story of when we were doing Roost 2.5, and there's a little kid on the set, and one of my actors, what they call Caucasian, was on the set, and he was saying, well, is he the director? And I'm like, no, I'm the director. You're the director?
Like, yeah.
I'm like, what are we teaching our kids? What are our kids learning? Yes, me, as dark skinned as I am, I'm the director, and he is my actor that has to listen to me. So, you know, it's just amazing the type of things that we have to heal from still to this day. So, you know, even from our own people.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
There's a sickness, there's a mental illness that just hasn't been addressed. So we're going to work on it, though. You know, that's our job, to work on it and to make our people better and make people in general better.
Pay it forward, man. Yeah. Pay it forward. Every summer I try to do something, because wintertime gets busy, but every summer I try to do something creative and release it. But one thing that is constant, I've been doing these anti-gun violence PSA, shock and awe, with people that really were about that life. You know, people that 20 years of murder that are good friends because they've learned, they've transcended from it. People that's been paralyzed from gun violence, because you're not going to reach everybody, but the percentage that do reach, that's always the goal. Be like, yo, shorty, the shooters out there, man, it's more to life than taking it out on each other, man. So that's what I will be working on in the next couple of weeks. But like you said, man, we got to connect, put some stuff out. I'm on it.
So where can we see those that you've been working on? The ones that you've already done?
Yeah, now those are on YouTube because I've been doing them for so long. So you,
okay.
Real Appeal Media Productions Incorporated is my company. But on YouTube, to see, you know, independent stuff, commercials, and the gun violence public service announcements, it's on Real Appeal Media Productions on YouTube.
It's Real Appeal Media Productions on YouTube. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Yeah, same here, man. Enjoy the balance of your day and continued success, prosperity, and everything you do. And to the listeners.
Same to you, bro.
For sure.
And same to y'all.
Yeah.
It's time to talk some shit. with King B on the King B's Raw Fusion Podcast, brought to you by theindycity.com. Time and time again, people don't realize one of the most important things about business, again, is relationships. If you keep good relationships, even if you have to take some time off, even if life happens, you can still always pick up that phone. Keep up good relationships. And if you have a good relationship or a good reputation, you can get right back in the game from where you left off. Relationships and reputations are key to good business and good friendships, by the way. I'm King B, and this is Raw Fusion.
Raw Fusion.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.